Well, folks, why don't we turn to the Word of God as we begin this time together. And we'll turn to the New Testament. And let's read some words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we'll pray together. And then we'll get into things from there. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's read from the verse number 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Amen. We'll just end the reading there. And let's pray. Let's ask for God's help as we consider this subject before us this afternoon. Let's all pray. Eternal God and our Father in heaven, we do come before thee this afternoon, and we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for the Word of God that is that living Word that speaks to our hearts and speaks to our lives in every situation. We affirm afresh today the sufficiency of thy word to guide us and to direct us. We believe your word is adequate to inform our decisions in every area of life. And so we pray for grace today. We pray for the wisdom to be discerning when it comes to these important moral issues. Help us to know thy will and to do thy will. And so we come, we pray for grace to help in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I suppose I don't think I know many of you. I know a few of you from before and in various settings. My name is Stephen Pollock. I'm the pastor of the Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. I've been there since March 2017, so approaching 5 years over in Pennsylvania. It's been a blessing to be there. I still can't shake off the accent, though, so I'm trying my best. But the best I can do is to try to be understandable. I can't sound and talk the way you folks do, but I'll do my very best to be understandable. It has been a blessing to meet the fellowship with our Brother McKnight. We have regular prayer meetings, men's prayer meetings with the Reformation Bible Church in Maryland. And, of course, I also fellowship with brethren like Reverend Hamilton and Mr. Mook, of course, within our presbytery setting. And so over here, we're here from Northern Ireland now for almost 5 years. It's good to be here. I'm sorry I couldn't be here more promptly. I just made it in after lunch. But at the present time, I'm involved in teaching in our seminary remotely via Zoom. And so the class this morning, and then managed to jump away from the class and come here directly from that. And so it's good to be with you here, moving forward for the next couple of days to meet a number of you, hopefully, and the fellowship together. Not quite sure why I got this topic. Not sure. The wrong person. You should be next door. But part of it may be that in my background, before as a pastor, I worked as a family physician in Northern Ireland. I trained in medicine back in Northern Ireland and Queen's University of Belfast. I graduated in the year 2000. So there's some background in some of these issues, looking after people with various addictions and troubles through the use of drugs, both legal and illegal. And so that may be part of the reason, I don't know, but be as it may, I hope we can learn together and work through some of these thorny issues. I have one question. How do you pronounce the second word on the slide? Because when it comes on, that's not a rhetorical question. Why would you like me to pronounce it? And I say that because one of the challenges we have coming from my part of the world is that we do vowels differently. And we do them properly, you do them incorrectly, but I'm going to try to accommodate and adapt myself to what you might say. So I say marijuana. Would you understand that word?
Yes,
marijuana. Okay, so I asked the students this morning, I told the students I was coming to do this, and I asked them, and I got four different pronunciations of the word. But be that as it may, we'll try to go forward. Of course, it's known by many different words. Dope, weed, skunk, you can use various words for the same term, and of course perhaps more commonly now it's being used with the word cannabis, all dealing with a similar issue. The topic I've been given is alcohol, marijuana and other recreational drugs. I'm going to do what speakers should never do, and that is probably disregard the title. But I'm going to give some rationale behind that. And the reason is that I have some concerns with grouping marijuana and alcohol under the same topic. They are different, and there are some significant differences. And so rather than dealing with two separate topics, alcohol, marijuana, and then a third side on, I'm going to focus on the issue of marijuana. Okay, there's overlap. We'll see clear overlap. But there are some very distinct differences. And so I want to keep that in mind. When you're looking at the two things together, are they similar? Well, here's some similarities. They're both, if you like, organic. They occur naturally. You allow something to ferment long enough, you produce alcohol from fruit products. Cannabis, of course, comes from a plant. There are various strains of cannabis, different types of plant. Most people are familiar with hemp, one of the ways in which you get cannabis in one particular strain. But there is an organic issue. They have intoxicating capabilities. They can blur consciousness. They are psychoactive in various ways. They certainly are addicting. Both of them have addicting properties within them, at least for some people. And they are life and mind altering. So in that regard, there are certain similarities. Absolutely, there are clear similarities. But there are some differences. People will often argue for the fact that cannabis is safer than alcohol. And certainly the way alcohol is consumed today, that's probably true. It's less damaging in people's lives and families. And so they say, well, these are some differences. Alcohol is pretty much the same thing, just got different strengths. Well, there are various strains of cannabis that will function differently in different people. And so you see differences already in the way things are looked at. Cannabis is very, very difficult to narrow down. There is a huge spectrum. And very, very many different chemicals within the cannabis plant. And all those different chemicals will perform differently and have different effects in a person. So you've got differences already, you see how things are going. There's one very important difference, highlighted by many, is that the Bible explicitly deals with alcohol, but it does not deal with cannabis. And so if you group it all together, you may well simply use the Bible's teaching on alcohol to govern how you view and talk about cannabis. I know of some people, and they will argue for the Christian use of alcohol, but against marijuana. There is a clear inconsistency there. There are others who will argue for the Christian use of alcohol, and therefore also say that a Christian can use marijuana. I know some things have occurred within our own denomination, that one of the arguments, we have an abstinence policy of alcohol in our denomination, and people have argued we shouldn't have that. And the question is, well, what about marijuana? What about heroin? And the response may well be, no, we should have no policy on any of those things in our churches. These are all matters for Christian liberty. And so marijuana, in some ways, actually presents more challenges for a Reformed fundamentalist than alcohol does. Is it a matter of Christian liberty? How do we define what a Christian liberty is? It's one of those Christian liberties. You begin to use that topic and you almost can just hear hush going over the room. How do you define the topic? What areas do you include under the umbrella of Christian liberty? How do you work through some of these issues? Something not explicitly mentioned in the Bible, does that then become a Christian liberty? Cannabis is not mentioned in the Bible, therefore do you automatically put it into a Christian liberty category? Is a Christian therefore free to decide in their own conscience? Is it a matter that we should show charity? I don't like the term, but is it one of those things, you do you? It's organic, after all. Therefore, it's given to us as part of God's creation. Does that immediately put it into matter for some Christian liberty? It's not forbidden in the Bible. See where you're going in this? It's not forbidden in the Bible. It's therefore a matter of personal conscience. Somebody should be considerate regarding other people's, and therefore it is a matter for Christian charity. You see, whenever modern Christians will think of Christian liberty, they will often include alcohol, and many more will now add marijuana or cannabis into the mix. It's really no big deal. Now, before we are quick to jump down the Christians don't do drugs line, there were many of you getting coffee next door a few months ago.
Preach it.
Because mine's just sitting right here. You're preparing this sort of thing, and you think to yourself, well, I'll make a point at least. I didn't expect it to go south. It is a serious point. Because we do allow, in the Christian church, for people to consume recreationally psychoactive drugs. Whereas I don't do caffeine, but you do soda. Yeah. And so we've got to be very careful and nuanced and precise. I don't know what is coming to here today. I haven't been to an ACCC thing before. I wasn't sure who was going to be here. But I was very suspicious that I wasn't going to be confronted with a group of young people who were tempted to try cannabis. If that was the case, I would approach it differently. But I am aware that I'm dealing with pastors and parents and grandparents, and therefore there is a necessity we think about this very carefully and very wisely. Just because something is not mentioned in the Bible or not explicitly forbidden does not automatically put it into the category of a Christian liberty. That's an important emphasis. That if there are biblical principles that apply to a particular issue, you therefore can very quickly put something in the category of that which is not consistent with Christian character. But you've got to deal with it fairly. You've got to be careful and think through the ethical ramifications of the situation. Now, before I go on, I do have to say a couple of things regarding the medical use of cannabis, often known as medical marijuana. Thankfully, I was asked to deal with the recreational use. But to deal with the medical use, or to deal with the recreational without acknowledging the medical use, again, will cause some difficulties. A couple of three-letter words up there, cannabidiol, CBD, you will see all over the place. Regularly promoted as a herbal remedy is a derivative, sorry, an extract. It is derived from the cannabis plant. Now, you folks maybe can't see it, doesn't really matter. There's a list of medical benefits perceivably coming from CBD. THC, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but THC is the psychoactive component of the cannabis plant. It's the bit that gives you the high. So when I say psychoactive, that's what it says. It's active in your mind, it's active in your brain. And so THC is the active part. I was in my local grocery store last night, and I picked up this. I did sort of streaky. I made sure nobody saw me doing it. But I stood at the CBD rack for a while, and I noticed with interest some of the advertising of CBD. And one of the points that was made, it's in the back of this, it's also on the board, zero THC. So what people are doing is they're extracting CBD from cannabis plants, from hemp and others, and they're extracting it for the use of medical benefits, but they understand the importance of not using the THC component, which is psychoactive. As a Christian, I would suggest there's a place for that. That if God has given us a plant that may benefit us in certain areas, that we should not exclude that possibility. We shouldn't be closed to that. Some of you may well, in your past, have suffered from atrial fibrillation, your irregular heartbeat, and you may well be given a drug called digoxin. Digoxin comes from the digitalis plant. It's a natural product. And we extract digitalis or extract digoxin from digitalis, and it helps people with atrial fibrillation. We're not against natural products being used in the medical realm. And there may be an overreaction in some areas. We say, well, weed for medicine? It's all like potheads who want an excuse to get high. Perhaps that's true. But it may not be true for Mrs. Jones in the back corner of your church who finds that the CBD rub does actually give her some help for her painful hands. Now, the evidence base is not strong yet. There's an awful lot of circumstantial ideas. This helped me, therefore it'll help you in that. It's not pretty good medicine, but you understand why people may get to that point. Also remember that the people promoting the usage are the people who are selling the stuff.
Yeah.
Instant warnings, suspicion and fear in those things. And so be aware of some of those matters, but also do not necessarily condemn and discipline people in your church who you go into their house and you see CBD products lying around the place. You say, oh, I need to call an elders meeting. You may not need to do that. And so there may be a place for some of the medical use of marijuana or other things. One warning in that, and I hope you feel like I'm kind of walking on this tightrope. I'm going to fall this side or that side, and I'm going to try to stay on the tightrope. But understand also, there's a reason why this slide is shown. Again, folks, you can't see, but the reason is there's an increasing body of thought that it is the THC component that's the important part. And so people are saying more and more now, actually, the CBD stuff, you may as well just rub some sort of hand cream in your hands. It's about as good as that. But the THC stuff, it's the really good stuff, particularly when it comes to some of the psychiatric issues like anxiety or appetite or even pain issues. And so the slide there is for that very reason, because they're suggesting, well, actually the CBD stuff not enough on its own. You also need the THC. Okay? That's something regarding the medical use. They're saying, be open-minded to it. I have no experience of drugs apart from morphine. I had appendicitis some years ago, and they gave me morphine before I went to theatre. It's a naturally occurring opiate. Medical use. We recommend it. We use it. It's misused. It's misabused. The opiate disaster is an absolute disaster in this country. The misuse of legal opiates was a complete and utter disaster. An absolute shame. By the way, I'm not condemning you folks. It's also a problem where I come from as well. But we allow for these things, and we're trying to be careful not to throw a baby out with bathwater. All right, just a comment. That's just that you are, that we're clear on some of these issues. Another matter that a Christian should be concerned about is the legality of it. I think this is America, isn't it? I think it's a map of the US. Please don't ask me to name the 50 states. But I do know the four in orange, North Carolina, Tennessee, is that Wyoming and Idaho, up on the left-hand side there. I looked this up before I came. But those are the four states that it's absolutely, fully illegal to have any sort of medical or recreational use of cannabis. One thing that's interesting is in one of today's news podcasts, I think it might have been the New York Times, they had a discussion that if you're going to legalize cannabis, why don't you legalize every drug? And that is the pathway the country is heading. And so this map will change going forward, and it is using cannabis as a stepping stone to legalize all manner of psychoactive drugs. I listened to the debate on the way across here, and they were arguing for the legalization of LSD and ecstasy and other sort of stimulant drugs. So that's the issue. But there are some distinctions. And you'll see a spectrum there of colors from fully legalized to not legal at all, and then to some medical use, some states decriminalizing it so there's no consequence, others fully legalizing the supply and everything else. So there are some differences, and that's just an important slide just to keep that in mind. Let me give you some facts and figures. Weed, pot, dope, again, if your grandchildren come along and, you know, they're describing what they may be doing, weed, pot, dope, they may smoke it, they may vape it, they may ingest it, you can get it in cookies, you know, there's all manner of ways in which this product can be given. That's what makes it particularly dangerous and damaging. It doesn't need to be injected. It doesn't need to be smoked. And so you find yourself looking at an issue that is perhaps a little more complex than some of the other drugs that are used. 22 million users per month in the US using some sort of cannabinoid product. Addictive? Yes. These figures are from the CDC. Oh, CDC. I don't know what your thoughts are. The CDC is, but these are CDC figures. And you see 1 in 10. If you're under 18 and you start heavy usage, 1 in 6. I would contest both of those figures. There's something you should understand. There's a difference between addiction and dependence. So you can get something that is an addictive property. Nicotine is, of course, highly addictive. It has a chemical addictive property to it. Cannabinoid products are dependent producing. You feel well on them, therefore you keep on taking them, though they themselves are not addictive. That's why the numbers there are quite low. The dependence syndrome for cannabinoid products is more like 1 in 3. And so you get figured like, oh, it's not very addictive. You know, all of us here, only 6 of you are addicted. Numerically, you know. Psychoactive, certainly. It does have an impact upon your mind. I'll say more about that later on. So please do keep in mind this idea. This addiction figure is very contestable in terms of the impact upon people's lives. Well, what's it like to be stoned? How does it feel like? Well, there's a sense of euphoria. You feel relaxed, amused, giggly. You may feel creative. It stimulates hunger. That's one of the reasons used in appetite stimulation. And there's this sense of being hypersensitive to your environment. These are looked as the positive impacts of weed or cannabis. These are the positive effects of the high. Not positive by my words, but in the thought of those who are taking the products. But there are significant negative ones. Anxiety, panic, confusion, delusions, hallucinations, high blood pressure, tachycardia, nausea, vomiting, paranoia, psychosis. Now, different degrees. It's not fair. It's absolutely not fair for me to put these and say, well, these are an equal measure. The nasty side effects are not all that common. I'm not undermining what I said earlier on, that there is a safety issue that is in the favour, in the world's eyes, in the favour of cannabis. Because the side effect profile is not awful. Those who have some of the paranoia, psychosis, seeing things, hearing things, it tends to be a very sick, a very certain subset of society that have a genetic predisposition to it. But it still happens. And so we've got to be aware of that also. How you react will depend upon a number of things. It will depend upon the dose, the strain, the potency. It will vary whether you smoke it, vape it, ingest it, how often you use it, your age, your gender, your physiology, whether you drink alcohol or other things at the same time. So all these things will vary from person to person. Again, that's what makes this difficult. Great variety. Let me just highlight one thing. When it comes to people in your congregation perhaps using this or taking this and you're trying to help them, remember please the danger, particular danger of the edibles. You smoke and you vape it, very quick onset and very quick settling of the symptoms. You can have symptoms from the edibles within 24 hours. So you have people who genuinely, I remember, I went to a dear sweet Christian lady beside the mountains of Mourne. It was many years ago, down near Newcastle, Northern Ireland. Beautiful part of the world, you go and visit sometime. And I went to see this lady, and she had problems with her liver. And I went to visit her, and was trying to just discuss, well, what's the problem with your liver, and what's going on? And I went through all the things, and she absolutely was emphatic. She did not take any alcohol. Okay, fair enough. And then we went on, well, what sort of medication do you take? Well, oh, I take this thing to boost me. It's a vitamin thing. I said, can I see your vitamin thing? So she went to get her vitamin thing. She went to get her vitamin thing. She got her vitamin thing. She brought it to me. And the vitamin thing was 18% alcohol. And she was drinking lots of it every day and feeling great. But it was wrecking her liver. Dear Christian lady, who had no idea that she was consuming alcohol every day and had been for months. And so I point this out to you, not to tell you to serve the alcohol, but to emphasize that you may well have people who are encouraged by family members, oh, you should try some of these edible cookies, they'll make you feel better. And over time, you suddenly realize, I feel awful. Because the impacts are prolonged. They may think they're doing it for medical reasons, but they're succumbing to some of the effects of cannabis. Now, having said all that with background, I just want to ask three very simple questions. In light of my question, is this a Christian liberty? I have three questions I want to ask, and then try to answer. First of all, is marijuana harmful physically? Now, I've asserted the issue that there is a safety balances, compared to alcohol, marijuana has a balances in that direction towards safety. But is it harmful physically? The sixth commandment, of course, tells us that we should not kill, or reform confessions and catechisms remind us that that involves preserving the lives of ourselves and others. So the positive aspect of the thou shalt not kill is thou shalt preserve life. And thou shalt not knowingly hinder life. So what about this? Well, teenage usage is an issue. In teenage usage, there are very significant issues regarding mental health. Mm-hmm. And these are stated even in websites and articles and periodicals where they are sympathetic towards the use. And so the legalization of marijuana in many states is restricted to those over the age of 18, or in some even older. So even the world recognizes there are significant problems with marijuana usage in teenagers. Psychosis, hearing, seeing things, an onset of schizophrenia, sleep deprivation. There is, of course, also the issue of driving. I have a man in my church who's a retired police officer, and I told him he was coming to the talk, and he said, make sure and tell him about DUIs. There's been a correlation between the legalization of cannabis products and an increase in DUIs, driving on the influence. It impairs your judgment and ability to drive. Thou shalt not kill your neighbor by driving your car under the influence. There are issues here. There's also the significant issue of lung disease. There's still work to be done regarding the long-term data of smoking cannabis and cancer. But the evidence is pointing that there are as many carcinogens in smoking cannabis as there is in smoking tobacco. So therefore, immediately you see yourself going in the direction that this is harmful to health. This is not a positive product, except perhaps in very, very limited circumstances. There's also the issue, general issue, in terms of harmful physically, and I'm putting this under this category, and that is the issue of addiction. Does the Bible deal with addiction? Does it specify an addiction issue in the Bible? Well, it does. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in the verse number 12. The Word of God says through Paul, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Not be mastered by anything. And brethren, I would say that includes caffeine. It's well worth your while sometimes trying to do without caffeine for a while. Test yourself. Are you under the mastery of caffeine? Can you live without it? If you cannot, then there's an issue there. We ought to be free from any addiction. I say that with a cup of coffee right in front of me right now. But there's an issue. Addiction is not biblical. It's not godly to be addicted to anything. Okay, that's the question. Is it harmful physically? Is it harmful spiritually? This is the short-term effects while using cannabis. There's a problem with learning, attention, and memory. There's a distorted perception. Remember that I highlighted that in terms of sensation, there's an unused sensation to color, light, smell, taste. Put it this way, it's a distortion of true perception. There's poor coordination, hence you can't drive. There's an increased heart rate, anxiety, paranoia, psychosis. They're not common, but it happens. Those are some of the short-term effects. And again, this might be from the CDC, but certainly it's not from a godly source. I'm just giving you a screenshot of a site that deals with cannabis. When high, you're less attentive, less understanding, less alert, less discerning, and less self-controlled. You're less like a Christian. You get the bottom line, that's what you come down to. Hence I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us through the day be sober. And it is significant that the comparison that Paul draws, yes, day and light, sleep and alert, but then he adds in the issue of drunkenness. Those who are drunk in the night. So the opposite of drunkenness is an alert mind, a sober mind. And I'm not using sober here, but I should be clear. Sober here does not mean sober as we mean it, no alcohol. It has a sense of alertness, a watchfulness, a perceptiveness of the area. Be alert, not like a drunkard. And so Paul says that, and Peter says the same. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Don't lose your mind, don't be out of your mind, but gird up the loins of your mind. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Chapter 4, verse 7 of 1 Peter. Chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. That's Christian life. And so the use of cannabis-type products has the impact of lessening spiritual character and vitality. Is it harmful spiritually? Well, surely it must be defined as being harmful spiritually. If it makes you less like what you ought to be as a Christian. Some say, well, I'm a Christian 7 days a week, but I like this 3-hour period on a Saturday night that I just kind of get out of my mind a little bit. It does me good. I feel better. Do these texts allow us even 1 minute whereby we are less watchful? You think of a man, and they're on their computer at work, and up comes a sight on their computer, and they see an image. If they let their guard down for 30 seconds, they can find themselves in a pathway that will lead to ruin. We are constantly to be watchful and vigilant. We are never to let our guard down in the things of grace. So is it harmful spiritually? Is marijuana harmful morally? This is your stereotypical marijuana user, isn't it? The sofa-occupying pothead. What does marijuana do? Well, it is a demotivating drug. There's very clear evidence that regular marijuana usage reduces people's drive and ambition, motivation and zeal to achieve. And you get these teenagers using marijuana and they're college dropouts, they have no job, they have no drive. And that's in the world. But as a believer, it is our obligation before God to do everything with all of our hearts. Whatever your mind puts to do, do with your heart as unto the Lord. You think of the language of Paul, Colossians chapter 3. You hear the language he's speaking, of course, to those who are slaves. Whatever you do it unto the Lord. That's your duty. That is your responsibility. And you do it with your heart. You do it with every fiber of your being. Do it heartily. Not stoned mindset, or the determination to pursue. There is such a thing as godly ambition. We ought to encourage our teenagers, strive to be the very best that you can be before God. Strive to earn as much money as you possibly can without endangering your soul. Seek first the kingdom. But as you seek first the kingdom, so strive, because the Christian church depends upon people who are successful and productive and do well in the things of God. That may not be the will of God for everybody, but it is God's will that everybody tries to be the best person that they are in the will of God. That's Christian, godly ambition. You've also got the issue, marijuana, as a gateway drug. Perhaps that's a term you're familiar with. This is debatable. And again, I just want to be fair. The worst thing we can do as Christians is to build up straw men arguments and knock them down, and then this is debatable. And I say that because there is a significant group of people who seem to smoke or to take cannabis or marijuana who do not progress to other drugs. The gateway drug mindset is that, well, cannabis is something that will lead to something else. And the evidence for that is equivocal. But it's certainly true for many. So I put it up here. And I had in my mind when I put a question mark. I thought, no, I'm not going to put a question mark. Because it's true. Just because it's not true for everybody doesn't mean it's not true. So for many people, it doesn't become a gateway drug. The high they achieve from marijuana, or they get tolerant to that high, and they then seek that high somewhere else. That is true. I called it a company drug. In modern society, it is often used in company. Company with the ungodly. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Psalm 1, we're not to walk with the ungodly. You will not find marijuana parties in your local church. To get it, you've got to go somewhere else. And you're going into the area and the dens of iniquity. You're associating with the ungodly. Hence you get the educational establishments, these Ivy League colleges. And they are full of people smoking pot. It's true in colleges. The ungodly delight in such things. In light of that, it is a disinhibiting drug. It lowers your self-control, thereby leading you to more easily commit other sins. So as you get involved in that, so when you're in that right company, you may find yourself in that company, and before you know it, you're sinning in ways that you did not intend to sin. Leads to immorality. It leads to other matters of drunkenness and other things go. It's a disinhibiting drug. You're less controlled in your speech. It's clearly family, relational problems with people who are marijuana. They lack their ability to control what they're going to say to their husband, their wife, their son, their daughter, their father, their mother. There's these issues that come as a disinhibiting drug. Finally, it is an escaping drug. That's why people use it. They want to escape for a time. They want to get away from their troubles for a season. That's what it's all about. Is that what it is to live as a Christian? That we just empty our minds for a time? I would say that there are some in the liberal Christian church who have a marijuana method of Christian living. You should go away into a quiet room sometime and turn the lights off and empty your mind. You hear that sort of meditation thoughts? And so they encourage that idea, and they add marijuana into that. Oh, this is for your good. Just forget your problems for a few hours and it will do you the world of good. You'll come out a better person. Oh, the Bible speaks of us filling our minds with truth, meditation in the Word of God. Not emptying our minds, but filling our minds with gospel truths for our spiritual benefit. Not to escape the world, but to fight the fight of faith in the world. Do you see the problems here? So, is there Christian liberty? No, nay, never. To my mind, I think there are very clear biblical principles that indicate this is not a Christian liberty. The effects of marijuana are the opposite of a life of spiritual vigilance and vitality. Anything that makes you less like a Christian surely is not the will of God. Help me the will of God. We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to lay hold on eternal life. That is our obligation before God, not to escape life. And not to ruin our lives by taking those things that make us live and act like the world, like the children of darkness, and not the children of light. So, I don't know who you're going to be involved with in the next days, weeks, years. My prayer simply coming to this situation was that at least we'd all be informed and therefore have the equipment to speak to children, grandchildren, people in our churches, wherever the situation may be, that we can warn people. But also, that by God's grace, this will be a reminder of us all. But there are, sadly, there are many in the Christian church, and they are living in this world as if they were stoned. They may not be taking psychoactive drugs, but they're living without vigilance and without sobriety. And they're not watching under prayer. And they're drifting their way through lives. And the devil's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And there are those who are not watching. And perhaps this is a wake-up call for some of you tonight, or today. I thought you were going to talk marijuana. Well, let me talk about the importance of sanctification. That those who are justified know no condemnation, but they do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And a spiritual walk is a walk of determined self-control, a determined spiritual vigilance, seeking first the kingdom of God. So, do not be a Christian pothead. Be a Christian who loves Christ, and loves your soul, and wants to endure to the end. So may God help us in these things. I'll pray, and then if there are any questions or comments, you can take some questions and comments. Now let's pray at the close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray that you give us wisdom and discernment regarding these things. And give us the grace. Give us the grace that we need to seek pressing on the kingdom. That we'd walk with the Lord. That you'd help us all to love his word. And to want to watch under prayer. So bless all of our hearts today. We think of some, and perhaps there are loved ones, members of their family that are caught up in all the web of iniquity in this world. Oh Lord, we pray for such loved ones, that you'd set them free through the power of the gospel. Oh Lord, we pray for such today. So grant us grace. Bless us tonight. May the word of God, may it come with great power and edification to our souls. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.